This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
It's that time, Sports Daily, getting all the inside information on the Kansas Jayhawks. Let's go now to the KU football and basketball beat writer from the Kansas City Star, Shreyas Latta.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Glad to be here with you on this Wednesday. Shreyas Latta is joining us, KU beat reporter for the Kansas City Star for basketball and football. We'll get to basketball. I want to start with football, Shreyas, because it's been an interesting opening to the portal. KU very, very active right now. So, it's hard to follow this stuff. 24/7 has them ranked, I think, 13th in the portal classes so far. Of course, there's a lot of big time guys who haven't moved yet. They're third right now in the Big 12. It's a lot of players, not necessarily the headline guys yet, but they've got them with 7 3-star guys. But I think when we look at that, that's pretty critical for KU with all the turnover they have. It's almost less about, you know, down the road and how many of the biggest fish they might be able to lure in, but more about how do you replenish this roster when it will have so many losses next year?
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think it's one of those things that, let's call it what it is. If Kansas wanted to have any hopes of contending for a bowl game next year, they had to replenish in a good way the portal. What they've done so far has been impressive, but it's not something I didn't expect because it's a numbers game, right? You had 15 starters leaving, over 30 seniors, 38 who walked on senior day, around 30 plus who are going to leave. And on top of that, you have 5 or 6 guys enter the portal. I think 2 more just added yesterday in their punter and backup kicker. So they've done a really good job of going to these areas that they need depth, that they need starting players, and they've replenished it. They've had multiple offensive linemen, which is big because they bring back 3 guys who have played, who started for them last year at different points of the year and played multiple games starting. They brought in a former 4-star recruit, top 50 recruit, according to On3, in Jahil Hurley, who was 1 year removed. You know, he played at Alabama last year, 1 year removed from that class. I think they've done a really good job of addressing the needs. I think the big thing is, can they bring in another wide receiver or two to help Jalen Daniels? The Ball State wide receiver they brought in is pretty good. He was a third-team All-MAC. Let's see how much that translates. I mean, they have a really young wide receiver room. You know, they had 4 guys brought in, I think, in the last 2 years in their signing class who are wide receivers. So it seems like they're going to lean on that youth a little bit, but I think there's probably an alpha receiver that they haven't gone and gotten yet, which I think is big. But I've been impressed, but I don't think it should be, you know, like super surprising because at the end of the day, they had to replace the guys one way or the other. Whether they're good or bad, we have no idea, right? Like these guys on number, 24/7 Sports and On3, and they're always like, oh, this ranks here. I don't take much stock into that. I don't think they mean anything. I think it's good for us, and it's easy to tell a fan that this guy was a former 4-star recruit or he's a 3-star, you know, transfer ranking. But the reality of the thing is, I don't really care what happened 2 years ago when you were in high school and you were a 4-star. What's changed since then? Are you still that player? Sometimes it's true, sometimes it's not. So we'll see if the guys they've added are impacting players and, you know, at least at the very least be depth pieces.
Well, when you look at the coaching staff, talk a little about coaching staff, where you think it's going to be, what changes are made, have been made, are going to be made, or being contemplated to be made. Because, of course, that's really, really important. It gives us an insight as to what, you know, the Jayhawks will be about, how they go about things. What can you tell us about anything going on with the coaching staff?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. I think what they've done is they've gone out and gotten some internal hires, which I think are big in the sense of Zabrowski is somebody that they probably should have arguably just hired out of the bat instead of, you know, Jeff Grimes, because it seems like both parties are kind of ready to leave each other in the background, you know, with how quick he took that Wisconsin job. Obviously, it's a good job, but still, I've been pretty impressed. I mean, DK McDonald, you know, it's hard to say how good he's going to be. He has experience. You know, he was at Iowa State for a while. He had the Philadelphia Eagles experience. You know, the defensive back room, I know, was kind of you know how defensive backs are, in the sense that they can be expressive. So it's a little up and down. So it's hard to say how he is felt about in the locker room on the defensive side. I had talked to a player or two off the record about this, and just, you know, it seems like they're excited. Guys who have left the team are excited that the direction Kansas football is going to be in. And I just think it's really interesting to see how Kansas has done a really good job, I think, of gone out and gotten the guys they feel like on the coaching staff wise can make them a better team. I've been pretty impressed with the fact that they brought back Matt Lubbock, who was a really big instrumental guy for them a couple of years ago with Andy Kotelnicki. I think he led Kansas two top 50 offenses before he left. And no, he did that with battling cancer. I think he was going through chemotherapy at that time. And he has a pretty prestigious career. He brought Nevada to a top 50 offense from a, you know, top 150 the year before. So I think it's going to help him a lot. Having that familiarity of Coach Dabrowski and Lubbock in the room is just going to make Jalen Daniels that much better next year. And, you know, I have high expectations for this coaching staff in the sense that it should be a step forward. I think Brian Borland, you know, on the defensive side needed to be, you know, considered of retirement or being replaced. And I think Kansas did that in the sense of, you know, it worked out for both parties.
I'll let a viewer, I should say, somebody that watches us on YouTube, have this next question. Trius Ken asks, and it does follow into what I was going to ask you anyway. We talk about all these new players needing to come in. I just wonder how you set expectations then next year, because it's a lot of new faces. And Ken asks about the offensive line specifically. You know, how realistic is it to bring in a bunch of new guys all at once and expect them to, you know, get after it? But as you know, I think that when we watch college football now, this is happening all over the place. So I don't think it's fair to say, oh, well, you know, but it's going to be a lot of new faces and maybe we shouldn't expect too much, because that's what kind of what everybody's doing to some degree.
Yeah. You know, I think on the offensive line thing, I will say this. Kansas has done a tremendous job of plug and playing guys from the transfer portal. Last year, they brought in Bryce Foster, all Big 12 player. You know, he was also, I think, number four in power four centers this past year, which is crazy, right? Like, that's a guy who was in the SEC the year before, and he's done a good job. They brought in a guy who was the Remington Award winner in Division II, who did a pretty good job this year, too. I think, you know, lineman is the least of KU's concerns. I think that's the one thing. Like, obviously, there's a little bit of a, it takes some time to adjust. They brought in a lot of offensive linemen, but I've been really impressed with Leipold and his staff and being able to, you know, get the offensive line ready. I think since 2022, KU's been, you know, in the top half of the Big 12 in sacks allowed, you know, which is a great sign. You know, they have done a tremendous job of keeping, for the most part, Jalen Daniels upright and not, you know, having to really scramble as much. I know we had a couple of games this past year where, you know, there was a few times the offensive line didn't look as good, but those things happen, right? This Kansas team is not infallible. I think if there's one position that I'm not super concerned with and I have complete faith in on the transfer portal for Kansas to do well at, it's the offensive line. I think that Daryl Okpelsa has done a really good job this past year, but it's also just continuity, right, from last year. And on top of that, you know, they've consistently been able to bring in guys where it was Dominique Pooney the year before that. Now, you know, who have come in and played significant snaps and done a good job for them. Just going back to the overall question, I think it's really interesting because we have no idea. I have no idea what to expect because, you know, we thought this Kansas team was going to win a Big 12 title with so much more experience, right? And they didn't. They didn't even come close. I think it's so hard to make a judgment call on how good these people are. I think, you know, maybe my expectation for coming into this year was maybe you win five. You know, if that's a good year, five or six, seven, that's a good year coming into this upcoming year, of course. But, you know, depending on how the first couple games look, how they look on the offense side of the ball, I think that's going to be a big thing because Jalen has got to look how he's looked the second half of the season, not the first half of the season. Then we can kind of exceed lower, you know, up or down the expectations. But It is the way I look at this team, with the amount of talent that they have to replace and the fact that it's not filled with a lot of older guys like last year's team was. If you make a bowl game, I consider that a successful season for Lance Leipold and that team.
You know, Sharias, you just used a word about 30 seconds ago, expectations. Let's swing to basketball, if you don't mind, and let's continue this little exploration of expectations. KU, 8-2. A loss with Missouri, a loss with Creighton. Got Brown coming up Saturday or Sunday.
Sunday.
Then you start Big 12 play. I mean, you start Big 12 play December the 31st. Expectations. Now that you got 10 games on the books, what are your expectations? How are your expectations? Are they above? Are they below? What do you think on expectations for KU now that we're on the cusp of Big 12 play?
Listen, and I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, but I'm a numbers guy as much as I'm an eye test guy, and I don't feel great about this Kansas team. I don't think they're the number one team in the country. I don't think they were what we thought they were. Maybe that will change. Maybe they won't. But I look at this team, and I just see concerning trends across the board. I wrote about this story this morning that came out, but the free throw rate thing, is it a big issue? Yes, a little bit, in the sense that no team ranked 360th or even close to that has been a title winner. Is it the end all be all? Not really. There's been multiple teams in the top 200s that have won a title. But,
okay.
The last, since 2013, 2014, the teams that have been in the 200s in the free throw rate, you know what they've been in? Top 50 to top 100 in 3-point percentage or 3-point rate, one or the other. The one exception to that rule was that UNC team in 2016, 2017. You know what was special about that team? They were number one in offensive rebounding and number one in overall rebounding, which Kansas is not that, okay, as we know. So to me, as a guy that looks at the numbers, the guy that looks at what this Kansas team is, I think they are much more talented than last year. I think they can make a bigger run than last year. I think they can figure it out. But we are sitting here, and we are a game away from conference play, and we have no idea who the fifth starter is. We're still talking about KJ Adams, AJ Storr, and Ryland Griffin. We should not be talking about this. This is about to be January. We have no idea if this three-point shooting thing that everyone talked about was going to be so much better, that everyone thought, including me, is for real. They're shooting 35.4% from three. Better than last year? Yes. They don't take enough threes where I really care about the percentage. Okay? They're 309th in three-point rate. That's horrible. They were 330th or something like that last year. I just sit there, and I think it's going to come down to two things. The draw they get in the NCAA tournament bracket, because when I went back and I looked at this in 2021, 2022, that season they won the title. Let's call it what it was. That team wasn't that good in the regular season. People like to rewrite history, but they really weren't. They caught on fire in the NCAA tournament because they played the right opponents and they had the right matchups. I'm not sitting there and saying Kansas can't win a title, but now we're looking at the trends that what they can be and what they will become. I'm looking at, maybe this isn't a title winning team. Maybe this is a Sweet 16, Elite 8 team. Okay. I think that's where I'm at right now. Things can change. They always, you know, I'm never going to count out Bill Self, but I don't think this team is as good as anyone thought it was at preseason. And
yeah, I don't think it's
good or bad. I don't know.
I don't think that's unfair. It's really more about, can they get there? I think, as much as anything, the concerning thing for me is it still looks like a team that's way too reliant on Hunter Dickinson. And so, like, I don't like seeing another dirty foul, whatever you want to call it, but another situation where Dickinson puts himself in a position to let the referees make a decision, right, on whether or not he can finish a game. Like, I don't like that. That needs to change. He's got to be smarter than that. We've seen that twice now this season. And now he's got a reputation, right? That's not good either for officiating, because they can't seem to be anything but an offense that runs through him, right? Like, I think that's where I become concerned about it. If you want to compare it to last year, they were too reliant on him last year, and it just feels like they're too reliant on him again this year. And so when it's like, what can change? The only thing I could see on the roster that could change it is if, like, Zeke Mayo becomes this elite level scorer, because he seems to be the only one that's even remotely close to being able to do that. It doesn't look like Griffin and Storr can. So can Mayo become a bigger focal point in the offense? I think he's tried, right, to his credit. I think he's taken the shots. I think he's at least put in the effort into it. But I'm with you. I don't know if that's there.
Yeah, I mean, I wrote about this after his game on Saturday or whatever. He had a career-high 26 points. He hadn't hit 15 points since the second game of the season. Can we just talk about that? Zeke Mayo is by far the best transfer. He's been by far the guy that's come in and been the most comfortable in this Bill Self system. The guy that we thought was going to be the guy for Kansas this year outside of Hunter Dickinson was A.J. Storr. He had 0 points at halftime, played a grand total of 6 minutes, took zero I think he took two shots. You know what he ended up with? 2 points on three shots. He had one rebound, one assist. What are we doing here? This guy had 16 points per game in Wisconsin last year.
It doesn't make any sense.
Has he lost complete confidence in himself? Does Bill Self not believe in him? Is it a mix of everything? Probably. Okay. I'm not sitting there, you know, it just feels like the guys we thought were going to pick up the load, shoulder the load, haven't done that. And even KJ Adams is down shooting-wise, percentage-wise, in the sense of scoring. He's averaging 8 points per game. He was 12 last year. That makes a difference. DeJuan Harris has been better this year, I think, to start off the year, but it's not enough of a big difference when everybody else is down. Even Hunter Dickinson hasn't been as good as last year, I don't think. He's had a couple of no-show games where he just hasn't been good because of either foul trouble or him being kind of neutralized. I think, you know, we look back at last year's team, we knew it was going to unravel the minute Kevin McCullough was completely out of the thing. This year's team, there's hope that maybe one of these transfer guys can come in and become the Robin that KU basketball so desperately needs him to be. The only guy that I can think can consistently do it and should be able to do it or has a chance of doing it is A.J. Storr. I'd be surprised if Zeke Mayo can come out there and put up 20 points per game every game or 15 in every single conference game. He didn't do it against non-con play.
He's going to try. And I appreciate that. And I appreciate that because he's at least going to try. Right now, it doesn't feel like you can even get the others to go for it, right? It's like, what are we waiting for? Like, go now. Now's the time.
Yes, and I respect that so much. He's not afraid of the moment. I think there are guys on that bench that are afraid of the moment, and it shows in their play. And I'm not trying to be hyperbolic or whatever, but this is my third year covering Kansas basketball. And if I get another year where they lose in the second round, I would be annoyed, okay? Because I missed UConn men's basketball by winning a title by a year. I miss Kansas winning by a title a year. My friends call it the Shreyas curse. They're just waiting for me to leave the beat so they can bet on Kansas.
Shreyas, I'm going to tell you right now, if you try to do anything to the NCAA basketball tournament, you're a crazy person because it doesn't matter. There are years where great teams get bounced, and there are years where bad teams go deep, and there is no rhyme or reason to it. It's all about the matchup, so we know that.
100%.
So I wouldn't sweat that too much. Because it's you know, it is enjoy conference season. That's where you really get the lay of the land, which, by the way, starts on December 31st, which, by the way, is 13 days away. And in between, you know, over a 17-day stretch here, we'll see KU play only one game against Brown. If there's ever a time Bill Self can get through to this team, it's now. If there's ever a time he can reach one of these players to do it, it's now. That conference, you get Brown and then you open the conference, and here we go. Look for Shreyas' work on social media, always at the KC Star. Lots of great coverage of both football and basketball. Shreyas, we appreciate it, and we'll talk again next week.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Actually, we won't talk again next week. It's Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
And I'm not sure if we have a show on New Year's Day either. We may have to reschedule you and get you in here on a different day. We'll get all over that. Here in a minute. Everything falls on a Wednesday. So there goes Shreyas. Follow his work at the KC Star on social media. We appreciate his participation here. Always really, really good stuff. If you missed any of it, if you joined us late, you can go back and watch on the Odyssey app. When we come back, it's hour number two. Want to tell you about Crestview Country Club. They got all kinds of stuff coming up here for the holidays. You don't want to miss it. It's more than just golf. It's more than just the sports. It's more than just the great pool in the summertime. They got a great restaurant, great bar, all kinds of great events for when the weather turns cold. and they'll take care of the kids with their kids club too. Give them a call, ask them about all their different kinds of memberships today. Tell them we sent you from Sports Daily. We appreciate their support. We're coming back, hour number two, right after this.